But how do you fix that in a friendship if it's been happening forever?
I just, it, the surprise ding dong, hi, I'm here with my husband and three kids. That's crazy to me.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Lainey, TV reporter, talk show host, and founder of LaineyGossip.com.
And I'm Sasha, television producer and fashion reporter on LaineyGossip.com.
This is a show where we get right up in your business.
This is What's Your Drama? But we're not saying that the questions we get aren't awesome. We've just never gotten a jizz in a Ziploc bag before.
Okay.
And I am being... Okay, so sorry, before we press play on this, I was getting Lainey to look up a cuckold, right? And I don't know what that is.
Well, a cuckold is like when you are being cheated on. You are the cuckold. You're being cuckolded.
If I'm being cheated on, I'm being cuckolded.
Yeah.
Okay, and that ends up being a fantasy?
Like some people,
Could you use that in a sentence? Can you just use that in a sentence?
Use it in a sentence. Use cuckold in a sentence. Okay.
This is like a spelling bee for you. Come on. This is basically your fantasy right now. Go fucking wank off into a Ziploc.
His wife's affair with the mayor of the town made him a cuckold.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So then why is that first? Why? But again, it's a role play situation.
Okay. We should let people know what we're talking about.
Oh, okay.
Slate has an advice column. It's like it's a sex advice column. And they had this crazy question this week. And like, I can't remember how I came across it, but I was obsessed. And so, it's for their column, which is called How to Do It. Anyway, so the question came to Rich Jezwiak. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his last name wrong.
Oh, he was a writer for Jezebel.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
so,
love him.
And the question is about this dude who said that he and his wife are playing sex games. And so in COVID, their sex games are limited because they can't involve other people. So now they're playing sub and dom games, and what she wants him. And they, anyway, so he said that they used to like be on the cuckold scene. And so
I don't know what that means. That wasn't used in your sentence. So that means that they were on the cuckold scene, meaning they were.
Like maybe they get off inviting somebody like. Who
was like a me,
yeah.
Who's cheating on Corey to do that with them.
Yeah,
got it.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know there was that scene.
That's my understanding of it, given my understanding of the definition. But I'm going to look on porn sites right now and see if that meets what I think is, because that's not my kink, right? Like cuckolding is not my kink. But
okay. Because I Googled that, and yes, every Google search was like linking me to a porn site, and I was doing it off my work computer. So I was like, okay, well, clearly I cannot.
Okay. So I've opened up.
Link to that.
I've opened up a cuckold like video, and it's a very attractive woman, and she's talking, but I'm not really sure what she's saying. And then, James Spader is in this.
What?
Oh my God. Okay.
A lookalike James Spader?
Oh, this is from the movie Crash, the cuckold scene. Okay. It's hot though.
Maybe we do it. But what's hot? The fucking at the car crash scene? What are you looking at that's hot?
The fucking cuckold scene between James Spader in Crash.
See, you're losing me. How are you seeing, how are you knowing by just looking at it without audio that there's a cuckold scene?
Well, because it's labeled.
Are there three
cuckold.
People involved?
It's labeled cuckold. There's a whole category of cuckold on porn sites.
Okay,
for people who
but
get
are there
off
three
on
people
it.
On in this scene? So James Spader is with his wife
Two.
And is has
see,
another woman.
See, according to Kinkley, cuckold, when used in a fetish context, describes the fetish of men who find masochistic pleasure in watching their wives have sex with other men. The man is complicit in the infidelity. See, that's exactly what I thought it was.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, great.
So that is
so way simpler.
That is the kink.
Got it.
Anyway, oh shit, I better close this porn site, but because I won't be able to focus while we're talking.
Great. Oh my God.
Anyway,
okay, well, this makes me feel like I'm more than no. Okay, good. Because I was confused. All I could center in on that advice question was the why they had to freeze the cum in a Ziploc bag. Anyway, for anyone who's listening, just read it. Maybe we'll link to it. Give
to
other
it
advice columns some love.
It,
oh, you did?
Yeah, I linked to it on Monday's what else? So
no, today's Tuesday.
I linked to it
did
on Tuesday's
today?
What else?
Okay. Yeah. So let us know if you like if we've missed the mark on anything. Let me know. Like, I actually want to be educated on this.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like it's a real Great. Horny time right now. Like between Wet Ass Pussy being, or WAP being the song, this, you know, everybody's, you know, getting kinky and horny and gushy.
I feel like you are, because even when we were hanging out this weekend, remember, I actually texted this to you. You accused me of like maybe being into face mask porn on Saturday.
Excuse me. I don't remember this.
Everyone was talking about face masks and then
I was talking
you turned
with
to me.
You. I was talking with you about face masks. This weekend.
So it was you, me, Lara, and Duana. And you said to me, you were talking about face masks. And you're like, oh, if there was face mask porn, I'm sure you'd be into it. Remember?
I did not fucking say that. I must have been so high because I have no recollection.
Correct.
Of this.
Yeah. And I was
what?
Like, I'm not turned on by masks. I want people to wear them. I don't want to fucking.
I have no.
Ejaculate
okay, okay.
into a Ziploc because
yes,
of it.
Okay. I thought you meant like skin face mask, not like
no,
actual COVID.
No, for fuck's sake.
Okay.
No,
yeah,
COVID
yeah,
face
totally
mask. You did
you,
say that.
Yes. Now I totally remember. I wasn't that high.
There we go.
Although anyway, we don't need to talk about that.
No.
All right. Are we into questions?
Let's get into our questions.
Okay.
Because they're just as good as the one on Slate.
Okay. I love it. I love it. Love it. Okay. Here's our first question. Hey, ladies. Happy pandemic. Thanks. Okay, so I've been married for 5 years, but we've been together since our early 20s. Since December, we've had a baby and relocated to a new city right before the pandemic shut everything down. Since our move, I've noticed my husband has been hypercritical of everything. He'll bring up things from my past or things I did recently. He'll bring up inconsequential things, the one time I left the dog outside while grocery shopping 3 years ago, or not picking up a dropped baby spoon immediately, getting a ticket 10 years ago, or forgetting to put the recycling in the can. When I mention this to him, he says I do the same thing to him, and I'm sure I have during a fight, but not just out of the blue. Sometimes he says these things in a jokey fashion, and other times he'll double down and just keep going about past mistakes. I really don't want him doing this to our daughter as she gets older, and I really don't know what else to do. Is this just COVID stress? Is this who he is now? Am I just being overly sensitive? Thanks for any help you can give me, whatever name you like. Okay, what's the name?
You know, I'm not really good with this. Let's just call her fucking Jane. I like Jane.
Okay. Okay. So Jane's husband is poking at her all the time and not
yeah.
in the fun, sexy,
yeah.
horny, gushy way.
No.
See, stop being
the annoying...
so horny, Sasha.
That was not me who said it, you fucking weirdo. Okay. Let's talk about this because I kind of see a little bit of myself
mm-hmm.
in Jane's
really?
Husband.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you always riding Corey's ass like this?
Well, I feel like now when you spend so much time with, listen, I don't know what Jane's husband's, like what his whole makeup is. Like we can't really say 100% if it's like COVID stress or if this is just like a personality that's starting to percolate. Mm-hmm. But I will say that it is stressful times, as we've talked about many times. Mm-hmm. And I think stress can come up and show itself in different ways. And I feel like with Corey and I, like having spent so much time together this last 6 months, like day in, day out, mm-hmm. Things fucking bug me. like he will like
things but from that 10 years really, ago
maybe not from 10 years ago but they're still like they're no yes sure there's things that he's always done that I've just been like whatever like I'll take care of that or I'll throw that in the garbage like he has like this really annoying habit of taking something out of the package and just fucking leaving it there like leaving it on the counter and with the garbage maybe 1 inch away like he just does that I've known that for my whole life with him but since the pandemic it's irritated me more and more and more and more and I bring it up to him all the time like I find that I am a bit naggy
right
because everything feels like it's in your face right now
right
you know the mess the way you hear someone talk, the way they like type on their computer keyboard, like everything is just heightened. Mm-hmm. So for me, I would give Jane's husband the benefit of the doubt and probably just say that he's maybe mishandling his stress right now. And we see this all the time that people take it out on the people they love the most and they can treat people unfairly that they love because they don't know how to internally deal with their own feelings. So I would say that that was will most likely be what's happening in their relationship.
But what happens if that becomes a habit?
Well, I think you have to break the habit. I'm just saying I think that is what is happening.
Right.
What she does moving forward is, you know, ideally the next conversation we're going to have.
I think for Jane, too, and her husband, it's compounded, right? Like they have a baby. Then the pandemic hits. Now they're at home alone. And there's a newborn. I mean, like all that. Listen, you and I don't have kids and it has already been hard. The last months we've lost count. So imagine like adding a kid on top of that and not just any kid, but like the most feeble kind of kid where it's just like you.
Right? The neediest kind of human.
Because they have to, my understanding is newborns have to like eat every hour or two hours,
that is,
right?
And then that is true.
Then everybody's underslept and then you're overstressed from this pandemic and you're like literally on top of each other in the home. And you're like, they must have like job worries and financial, everybody has like all that stress. So it's compound stress. And if that's the way for him, it's manifesting itself. I 100% agree that it probably is definitely a COVID thing. But yeah, the concern is we've all already started developing COVID habits that
I was just going to say
we're going to, you know, it might not be like picking at your spouse, but there are things that we're now doing in COVID that have become, I hate this expression, but everybody's calling it the new normal.
New normal.
But like, this is the regular way. You know how they say that they say that like it takes what, 23 days to form a habit? Well, fuck.
Yeah.
It's been fucking 5 months.
Yes.
So the habit of being home and doing the shit that you're doing home has formed, or at least the things that you've been doing for the last 5 months have formed. So what now? What's like, so that would be like to me what the concern is. Like Jane is going to have to really, it sounds like she's addressed it, but he's kind of not getting it, right? And, or he's countering and saying, well, you do the same thing too. So their communication is breaking down.
Yeah. And I think that that is what they have to work on. And typically when you're wanting to highlight someone's bad behavior, it's better to do it when that behavior is not happening at that moment, because then everyone gets defensive. So I would just, you know, suggest to Jane to like when things are good, when they're like having a nice dinner or when they're just like sitting and watching a movie or whatever, when they're in a relaxed state, is to bring up like, hey, like you seem a bit off. This isn't, you know, you never treat me like this. Like just lately you've just been at me and I want to work on this. Like we can't live in this house together if you're always pointing out the bad things I do, things from the past. Like, I think you need to have like a soft, open discussion about that. And if that doesn't work, then, oh my gosh, there's so much online therapy right now.
Yeah.
Online couples therapy as well. That is, there's also so many free resources. So why not take this time to work on that, nip that shit in the bud before, as Lainey said, that it becomes a pattern into the future of your relationship.
I know so many people who are doing Zoom therapy on Zoom, couples therapy. And I think that this is the, if it's still out there, the misconception we have to address. Sometimes, you know, it's too late going to therapy when things are in crisis. When to go to therapy is at the beginning of when things start to bother you, or when things are fine. Think of it as like the gym. You know, you go to the gym when technically nothing is wrong. You're just maintaining overall health. Well, I don't go to the gym, but right now.
I was like, tell me how that goes. I forget.
Or nor have I been exercising, but I should. But I mean, I think that is how a lot of people should start thinking about therapy. It's just something that you're doing to maintain healthy mental health and
get stronger.
Yeah,
and get stronger.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Jane, therapy is not a bad idea here in this situation, because clearly this is bothering you. It's bothering you enough where you addressed it with him and you weren't satisfied with the answer. And your attempts at addressing it may, if they're hitting a brick wall, then it might be time to get more creative. And I know of many couples who are doing, they're sheltering in place, but you can do Zoom calls with your partner right next to you. And it's asking you to think about things a certain way and asking the other person to think about things differently. And from the conversations that I've had from people who are doing this, you end up looking at yourself and things come up that you also need to address in you. I mean, in Jane's message to us, she says that she does bring up old things, but only during fights. And, you know, you may not be aware that you're bringing up things not during fights. Sometimes we're not aware of the things that we're doing.
Yeah, that's problematic behavior on Jane's side of things too. And I would also say something that I've noticed like in the last 2 weeks is I'm fucking bored. I'm bored. I'm bored. And I think change of scenery and doing something different.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of monotony in these during this pandemic. So it's like maybe you guys have been doing the same thing. Maybe things feel just like really oppressive in the household. So maybe it's about getting out or just mixing shit up a bit, especially with a baby. Like things like I would imagine feel pretty heavy and like fucking feed, shit, bathe. Like it might feel too structured. So maybe just like breaking that mold a bit could allow for some freedom of feelings and emotions. And I think you could get a little further than you guys have in this current situation. So I think there's a number of things you can do that could help the situation.
So Jane, good luck. Let us know how it goes. But remember, going to therapy does not mean that it's a crisis.
Totally.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay, next question. Hi, Sasha and Lainey. I have some minor drama developing with a relatively new friend, and I'm trying to decide whether it's worth confronting her about it. Background, I met this friend. Let's call her B. Okay, let's call her Brenda. Okay? Let's call her B, and our reader's name can be Kelly. Okay?
Okay, okay. Got it.
Or writer's name. Okay, so I met this friend, let's call her Brenda, via social media last year. We discovered we live in the same neighborhood and have enough mutual friends that I felt comfortable meeting her in person. We get along well and have a lot of common interests and have since hung out several times in person, once on a group trip over a long weekend and a few times on our own. So here's the issue. Brenda is in a long-term relationship and seems to have a habit of scheduling friend hangs back-to-back with plans with her boyfriend. In the handful of times we've hung out, she has either showed up late or left early because she's with him. Once she arrived 45 minutes late to plans with me, with the boyfriend unexpectedly with her. Apparently, he wanted to eat dinner together before she left to meet me and then decided he'd like to come along. She didn't give me a heads up about any of this, just turned up super late with an unexpected companion, and I had secured a table that only fit two, so it was pretty awkward. That was earlier this year and shortly after the pandemic hit, so I let it go and didn't say anything about it. She has spent the entire pandemic in quarantine with her boyfriend out of town. This week, she was back in our city for a few days before heading out of town again, and we saw each other in person for the first time in months at her invitation. We made plans to meet at an outdoor restaurant with good COVID safety protocols, and I was really looking forward to it. I don't get out much these days, and it's been really stressful at work. So you can imagine I was annoyed when halfway through our first drink, she started texting with her boyfriend. I brushed past it and just kept chatting. She suggested we order a second drink, but shortly after they arrived, she abruptly started acting like she had to leave, clearing up her stuff, packing her bag, and then asking for the check. I asked what was up, and she said her boyfriend was waiting for her at another restaurant to have dinner, and she had to go. At no point when we made these plans, which were timed for dinner, did she mention she didn't intend to hang with me for a meal and would be leaving for other plans with him. So I'm sitting there with half a drink still in front of me, and she says sorry and bounces. Now I'm extremely annoyed and wondering if I just don't want to bother trying to develop a real friendship with this woman. I'm not in need of new friends. I have a solid core of ride or dies, and I'm never hurting for company when I want it. And her behavior with her boyfriend is just bizarre and not something I'm willing to tolerate. I should say that I've met him, and though obviously I'm not inside their relationship, I don't get the sense that he is at all controlling or the one demanding this behavior, as he has a very relaxed personality and seems like he's just along for the ride with her. That said, I'm wondering if you think it's worth it for me to try talking to her about this. If there is some kind of abuse dynamic in their relationship that I'm not privy to, I don't think we're close enough for her to talk to me about it. And I'm not sure we have enough of a foundation for me to call her out if this is something she's doing on her own. But I'm hesitant to just throw the potential away if this can be addressed without a ton of drama. I would love to hear any thoughts you have. Developing new friendships as an adult is always tricky. Best, well, we'll call her Kelly.
Kelly, yeah.
Okay. So do you think that Kelly should be concerned that there is an abusive situation happening where the boyfriend is constantly like piggybacking on plans to make sure that he can pull Brenda away from whoever she might be hanging out with?
I mean, before Kelly had mentioned that, obviously that was what popped into my mind. But then I'm also going to have to go by what Kelly thinks is that she's met him. He's pretty fucking laid back. He just it's just always there. And it's interesting because there are some interestingly, if none of our friends who have significant others bring them out, like they're not part of the scene all the time. But there are, like, I've had past friendships where their boyfriends have been inserted into our friendships and it wasn't up for debate. Like they came, mm-hmm. like they were just shadows of each other. They just always came with each other. So there are dynamics in relationships where the boyfriend and the girlfriend in this situation want to do everything together. They want to be together all the time.
Yeah.
They are attached to the hip and they come as one. So I don't think that's like, if that's the case, I don't think there needs to be any, like, we don't need to alarm the sirens that, oh my God, she could be in an abusive relationship. She could just be, you know, very tightly weaved with her man.
Yeah.
That's a thing. I think the problem here is, I think Brenda's poor scheduling management. Like, she's one of those people who just wants to be everywhere at the same time, yeah. but doesn't take into account that it could inconvenience or slight other people.
Yeah.
Do you have spidey senses that are?
I don't have spidey senses about this being an abusive relationship. Like, I just don't think that what we have here is enough to go around accusing someone of something that serious. Like, you know, she piggybacks her plans all the time, but
she's a bit flaky. She seems to be a flake through and through.
She overschedules. And she wants to do all these things at the same time. She wants to be with her mm-hmm. boyfriend and she wants to be with his friend. So I just, you know, and if you're out there listening, let us know if we're wrong. But like, nothing here is setting off alarm bells for me. And I know, like, abusive people can present as like totally normal. And that is the whole point where, you know, nobody really knows. But again, I just don't want to jump to that conclusion if there's no real evidence beyond she makes plans with me and him. And, like, you know, I don't see.
And everybody else.
Yeah.
I would be more alarmed if Kelly was like, yeah, like Brenda doesn't ever go out. And when she goes out, she has to leave right away. It seems like Brenda is quite the social butterfly. Like, she's out, she's doing things. She does come late. She does fucking bounce after a while, but she's always around. Like, she's going to the social events.
Yeah. And there are no other things that are tipping Kelly off, like, you know, or I feel like Kelly would have let us know. But here's where I would be more annoyed if, and this is, I think this is just human, if Brenda and Kelly were friends before the relationship, and
yeah.
then Brenda was like, because we've all been there, right? Your friend meets somebody and then they like fucking bail on you all the time, which is a normal course of relationships. The thing with this that makes this tricky and why I don't think Kelly should say something is this is, even though Kelly might be, or sorry, even though Brenda might be annoying, these were the ground rules that Brenda set up in their relationship.
Totally.
Like, dude was around first, then Brenda and Kelly met, and Brenda has always just been like this with Kelly. She hasn't, like, changed up the contract, so to speak, right?
Totally.
This has always been the way it is. So I think the key for you, Kelly, is whether or not you can accept this in a friend. And that's what you're...
Kelly said no.
And if...
She said, I don't want to tolerate this.
And you're like, you're not lacking for friends. So then I think you have your answer, right? These are clearly the ground rules or the conditions that you have to accept with this friend. And if you don't want to accept them, then you don't have to accept them.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it can be, you can either choose to have Brenda like literally breeze in and out of your life and you just don't get bothered by it, or you just actively avoid her and don't make plans with her.
Yeah.
Either way, it's like it's a win-win in a way. Like, you either get rid of the thing that annoys you or you bring in some more friendship into your life.
Yeah, and I would just think of it as like a friend. Nobody's perfect, right? So obviously we all have quirks that we have to deal with our friends. So, you know, for me, my quirk is that it really, and you and I have this in common, Sash, is you are chronically early and I'm chronically punctual, like right on time. And so it makes me crazy.
Those are problems?
No, it makes me crazy when friends are not on time.
Well, it makes, let's just call her out, Duanna, crazy that I'm early, right? And I see why that's rude.
Yeah.
Like, I try to actively be late and I'm still early because I know that I'm being a dick and inconveniencing someone by showing up 5 minutes early when they need that extra 5 minutes. Sometimes people, Duanna, needs those extra 5 minutes.
She's also chronically late. So
that's
combination
what I mean.
Late of the two of you is
not ideal.
Yeah. But you kind of accept that in your friend, right?
Yeah.
That is the deal.
And that's what it is. I think Kelly is not close enough with Brenda to have that kind of expansion and contraction of a friendship yet.
Mm-hmm.
So until that happens, until they get closer, you can't really have those conversations.
Yeah.
You can't be like, hey, B, you're fucking really annoying me. Like, you better come on time. You better stay the whole time we're out. Like, you can't even cross that boundary. So kind of pick your poison. It's up to you. Like, pick your own adventure with this friendship, because I don't think you're going to screw yourself either way.
But you know what, though? Like, Kelly mentions that they have friends in common and they've done group hangs before, like this group trip.
Yeah.
So this just may be a friend that you see in a group setting, but never solo one-on-one.
Which is great.
Great, right?
Yeah.
In a group setting.
Yeah, totally.
If her boyfriend's around or she like bounces to go check the boyfriend, then you still have other people around and it won't annoy you as much. The problem is that when you're one-on-one and you're solo, it's annoying because then you're just like, oh, what the fuck? Am I just going to stick my finger up my nose? Like, So ditch the one-on-ones, but you can still be friendly with this person in a group setting without like making things awkward. That's totally chill. And that's the kind of friend this is.
Yeah.
Is that too simple? I mean, I feel like.
I feel like that we solved that one really well, actually.
Great. All right.
I'm proud of us.
Ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, Sash and Lainey. I have a friend who regularly stops by unannounced, sometimes alone.
No.
And sometimes with her husband and three kids.
No.
I love these people. They are my chosen family. But is it too much to ask for a heads up? Let me be clear. I'm all too happy to make plans. Love a brunch, park meetup, or patio hang, but hate the pop-in. I have no issues seeing her or her family, but please do not ring my doorbell or text me that you're outside without an appointment. I'm only half joking about the appointment. Conversely, sometimes she'll say things like, maybe I'll stop by later, then doesn't show. It's frustrating. I've made jokes and passive-aggressive comments that would subtly suggest I don't like it, but I don't think she's picked up the cues. You may say that if we're such good friends, I should be able to tell her the truth, but she can be sensitive and I'm worried I'll hurt her feelings. How do you ladies feel about spontaneous visits from friends or family? Do you have any suggestions on how to politely address this issue and make it stop once and for all? You can use whatever name you like for this. Thanks and take care. Okay, what name do you want for this?
Courtney. This feels like a Courtney question. Okay, Courtney. Well, it kind of leads into exactly what we were just talking about before, in the sense that, like, you've known this about your friend for so long. Like, this is who your friend is. She is that person who drops by. Like, I'm curious to know how long their friendship's been. I mean, she says that they're her chosen family. Mm-hmm. So clearly they're ride or dies and have been in each other's lives for at least a couple of years. I don't know. Can you bring that up years into a friendship and be like, you know what you've been doing? Our whole history of friendship has been very annoying and inconvenient to me.
Oh,
I don't know. I think you suck this shit up, even though this is my worst nightmare. People, so, and this is what's so surprising. I know you would probably be like, of course you don't like drop-bys. But my whole, like, all of my high school, all of my university, my house was like the party house. People came in all the time unannounced. Like, it was the place where people slept. You'd fucking wake up and there'd just be like people there,
yeah,
all the time. And coming from a Yugoslav and Chinese background, you always kind of have an open door policy in that way. Yeah. Like, especially Eastern European families, it's like everybody's welcome.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that scarred me for life, but like, I don't, since I've become like an adult, I don't like people encroaching on my time and space without me getting a heads up. So while this is my worst nightmare, and I understand, what did I give her? What kind of shitty name did I give her?
What kind of a heads up? Like half an hour? Because
you give me half an hour heads up. I love a half an hour heads up.
Yeah. I'm just like, I can do a half an hour heads up. Am I swinging by? And I don't think you've ever said no.
No, I haven't, because I feel like half an hour is a great lead time. Like, if I was going to ever let you into my house during COVID, that would give me enough time to like tidy or like maybe take a shower or like something. Half an hour is a really good lead time. But if you knocked on my door consistently.
No, I would
never. Can you imagine if I did that to you?
I would never. I don't think I like, I like a half hour heads up. Hey, I'm in the neighborhood.
But how do you fix that in a friendship if it's been happening forever?
The surprise ding dong. Hi, I'm here with my husband and three kids. That's crazy to me. But I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's crazy to me because, first of all, as we all know, I have stranger danger. Like, I hate when the doorbell rings and during COVID, because packages arrive from work and, you know, groceries get delivered and everything comes to your door. I live in a state of like, whenever someone knocks on the door, I'm like, oh my God, I hate.
Even though they're bringing you the neat, like the goods and services you've desired.
But I have stranger danger. I don't like people, as you know. So I'm just not that person. Right.
So how would you deal with someone if I just rolled up to your house and bum rushed you all the time to hang out? What would you do?
To your point, like, this is an established thing. So how do you kill an established, like, a pattern? We talked about patterns, like, in our first question about, like, establishing patterns and breaking habits. Like, how do you do that?
And how do you do that with someone who's sensitive, too?
And this is, she used the word regularly. So what are we talking about? Like, fucking twice a week?
Even if it was once a week. Yesterday, my good friend Connor was dropping off these two pans that he had bought. So they were like really expensive pots and he was giving them to me for fucking free. It was the nicest gesture. So much so that he was so nice that he drove to the East End where I live, which is a half an hour drive away from him, to drop them off on my porch. Even that annoyed me. even knowing that someone was someone in my square footage who's like a dear close friend of mine was like, no, like he gave me like a 15 minute heads up. And that even flustered me. Even when I was getting gifts, that bothered me. So I feel unprepared and have no tools to give advice to this. Like, I feel like I'm paralyzed. Like, I don't know what to tell.
I just don't think we have enough information. Like, to your point, like, how long have you known each other for? Because there's two sides to this. If you've known each other for a long time, you should be, well, I don't know. She says that her friend is quite sensitive.
They're family.
She says that her
friend. And they're family.
She said her friend can be quite sensitive, and I'm worried yes. I'll hurt her feelings. If you already know you'll hurt her feelings with this, like if you already know, then you have to balance. Like your irritation at the unannounced flyby, is it worth causing her hurt feelings given how sensitive she is?
I'd like to know, does she follow a pattern? Does she come on Mondays and Fridays? Does she come after dinner? Or is it like, because maybe if there was a way to like see a pattern of her drop bys, then maybe you could like prepare for them. So maybe if she like always comes after dinner on like midweek and the weekend, then maybe you can just mentally prepare yourself for that. If that's not the case and she's like fucking shooting darts all over the place, then again, I have no advice maybe, for you on how to deal with this.
Maybe we can come up with like the grown-up friend version of the sock on the door.
What you're going to say, hey,
no.
When you see a tie around the front door, please turn away.
So maybe you can, what I'm saying is the preempt. Like, let's say there is, you know, don't do this every day, but if there is one day where you just cannot handle an unannounced flyby, and I'm gathering that these two people are so close that they must text all the time. Can you like preemptively be like, oh, today is a fucking shit show. I am so busy. Hey, if you were planning to drop by, not a good day today. I'll check you later. I'll call you later. And do it in an easy breezy way where you're just like, oh my God, my fucking boss just laid on me with like 8 files or.
So lie.
Yeah. Or I have a headache today and I'm going to be napping all day. I really have to nap off this headache. You know, not a good day to do a flyby. Like why can't you just start preempting? Not every single day, but on the days where you really, really can't handle ding dong and three
so
kids.
So as soon as you wake up, in the morning, you send that text.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right?
I mean, that seems like the easiest way to manage it with the least amount of emotions hurt.
Yeah. But, and don't do it every
day. That takes
day,
so much effort.
Once in
but
a
you
while.
But you know what I mean? That takes
once
so
in a
much
while
effort.
To eliminate, listen, if you can reduce the fly, I'm just trying to do this for Courtney. If Courtney can reduce the amount of flybys by even just 10%, I think Courtney would be able to handle it better.
Oh my God, can you imagine? Did she say 3 kids come by to you and the
so
husband?
So what I'm saying is,
just
be like,
that.
Wake up 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I just looked
I
at
have
my,
such
I
a crazy
like,
day.
I have such a crazy day. Not a good day for a flyby today. So that, you don't get the, hi, Jimmy, Jane,
so
and John
such a
are here.
Wait, let's just fucking point this out. So wake up in the morning, say crazy day, homie, crazy day. please don't.
Or however
if you were planning to
Courtney
drop by,
would word it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please, if you were planning to come by today, ain't the day for that.
Or,
thank
or,
you.
But you can
check in with me.
You always spin it. You know, today's not the best day, but tomorrow looks free and clear. Right? You always turn around.
Okay.
Because if this person is sensitive, then that is a way to like steer it into something positive. Oh shit, I just checked my email. Things are blowing up at work. Or, you know, I fucking ate some bad turkey last night and like I'm shitting and I need to take a nap. I have a headache. Whatever. Do it once in a while. Like once in a while. I'm not saying all the time. But start introducing that. But then at the end of the text, turn it around and be like, hey, but tomorrow's looking real good.
Can't wait to see you.
Can't wait.
Next time.
Yeah. Tomorrow's great for a flyby anytime.
So maybe through osmosis, she'll get the hint that not every day is free game.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Maybe is that That's like a modified version of the sock on the door?
I feel like that is very smart and the best option because I don't know. I mean, listen, I want to make it clear though to Courtney that she is not in the wrong. Like her friend. It's some rude shit. It's some rude ass shit.
I wouldn't
come on.
Like rude is a word that I don't want to define because there is. I do think that there's a certain warmth and hominess, throwbackiness to. Listen, we're fucking weird people. Do not like.
I'm pretending I'm not weird right now. I'm pretending I'm a normal person who likes people.
Yeah, to just be like, oh, I can't wait to go see my best friend. Let's just go over there. I think there is something very. A certain in a certain community that's charming, like in the olden days. And it, you know, I can understand some people would enjoy that. I don't want to say the word rude, because rude is like leaving a shitty tip and like fucking not picking up after your garbage. And
I beg to differ. Rude is also not thinking about what your friend is dealing with that day. Or like, I think it's rude.
That's not the active thought. Like Helen, Helen isn't like, I'm going to go over to Courtney's because I'm going to inconvenience that fucking cunt. I'm going to roll up with my three kids and I know she's annoyed.
I'm going to ding dong.
Right? And I'm going to be like, hey, it's all of us. Jimmy, John, and Jane, fucking get out the hors d'oeuvres for us right now. Like, Helen is not thinking that. All Helen is saying is, oh, I can't wait. I let's go by Courtney's and say hi. It's going to be so fun. Love, Courtney. Love, love, love. So the intent is not like, there's no rude intent there.
Yeah, it's not active, but I still think it can be rude. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I get what you're saying. You're a nicer person than I am, because I would find that rude if that happened consecutively. If I rolled up, you're telling me, I love you, Lainey, and if I rolled up to your house twice a week unannounced, I think, as much as you know my intent of wanting to hang out was good, you would find that fucking rude.
I don't know that I would find it rude if it became a
You would
pattern,
find it annoying.
A fine. Habit. Like, yes, it's annoying. That's a good word. Rude, I don't know. I don't want to attach that to Helen.
Fine. Annoying.
Anyway.
It's fucking annoying.
But as if you would fucking roll up to my house. You can't fucking back.
I'm going to now. I'm going to now just to see if you think it's rude or annoying.
First of all,
we will take a poll.
Throughout the last 4 or 5 months of this pandemic,
you've come to visit me.
I'm the one who logs the steps to come visit you, sweaty as fuck. You haven't come to see
me. Yes,
and
I appreciate it.
Yeah, okay. Rude.
Okay. Okay, fair. Fair.
All right. Courtney, good luck. Try the preemptive, proactive method.
Mm-hmm.
Really curious about this one. So hopefully that'll reduce the amount of ding-dongs you get.
Okay, keep your questions coming to me at sasha@laneygossip.com.
And don't forget to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts, leave comments and reviews, and we will be back in a couple weeks. Thanks for listening. Bye.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.